You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Wednesday on Hump Day, on the Major League Baseball trading deadline day. Good morning to you. Didn't watch the Democratic debates last night. I did, though, yesterday spend some time with the testimony of General Berger. And in his testimony is Admiral Moran's testimony. Admiral Moran, who shortly thereafter was, maybe he wasn't forced to resign, but maybe he chose to resign, however one would characterize that. So you're going to hear that today. Yeah, you're going to hear that today. And it's really interesting. And I even left parts in there that Admiral Moran contributes. Not many, but there's a few that you'll hear Admiral Moran's voice. And in his voice, you'll hear him talking about pretty important. You know, for instance, the Navy cannot buy a ship on time and on budget. And that's a problem. And when we talk about the cost overruns, they're not small. They're not small. And, you know, it's interesting that you hear senators and Admiral Moran go back, and I didn't leave all of it in, but you can't keep changing the requirement and expect this thing to get delivered on time. And so, I'm not a shipbuilding expert, but it would seem to me, right, you buy the base model and, you know, what happens with every modification that you make to the production, you delay the fielding of it and you run the cost up. So I don't, I'm curious about all that. We can't solve that one. When we go to print, it goes to print. Okay. And that's what we're going to buy. And then maybe we bring it in. And again, these service life extensions, I mean, those are you know, those are a couple year long. I know guys who, when we were on sea duty, they would be assigned to, you know, security of a ship, and they never left the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Yeah, they were there for the better part of 2 years guarding a ship that never went to sea. And so, and I think SLEP was 18 months. Service Life Extension Program, as it's known. And so, we have an issue, and one of the issues is China. China is forecasted to go buy us a number of naval platforms, go to sea deep water platforms by 2030. That they will be able to project power and be able to outman us around the world. Now, are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? Is that something that we think is a good thing? So, anyway, so you'll hear that today. So I was cutting that up yesterday. Pretty interesting audio. And General Berger talks about a whole variety of things. That some of it you saw in his planning guidance. And so, so you'll get to hear him wax eloquent. I've been meaning to play this for since he did it a few weeks ago, and so I am kind of remiss. I love hear, and I know it's kind of geek stuff, but I love hearing this kind of long format, in their own words, blah 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 blah. The other thing that that's been kind of interesting, honestly, so. This whole discussion about formations and text messages, I received a bunch of feedback on it yesterday. You know, people just honestly are stunned to hear that. And so that was kind of an interesting part of my day yesterday was. Was corresponding with people who hear that, and they're like, are you kidding me? Tell me this is not true, please. And I said, sorry, man, I'd love to tell you that it's not. If you want me to tell you it's not, I'll tell you it's not, if that'll make you feel better. But yeah, it's true. That many battalions run by text message. And then they were asking me, so then they were asking me detailed questions. And this happened to me probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 times yesterday. People like sending me emails or texting me. And, and so the questions would go like this. So how does this work? Right? Because there was a lot of reasons to have a formation. It wasn't just to pass information. Well, I guess people don't think that anymore. People think that they're a waste of time. And the only reason we have those things is to pass information, and we can text that. Question. So, when do they have formations? Well, platoons might have formations. And then the response was, yeah, but Mac, what, you know, how many platoons have platoon sergeants? Well, good question. Okay. So then who's in charge? Next senior guy, hopefully a sergeant, maybe a corporal. And that's when they fall off the planet, right? Mac, so we're replacing the presence of the company gunny, maybe the first sergeant walks out there just to eyeball everybody. Because it's normally relatively near the company offices. Because that's how the gunny would do it. So we're replacing their calibrated eyeballs with the calibrated eyeball of a sergeant or a corporal. Yeah, that's my understanding. Like, good Lord, are you kidding me? One response, good Lord, no wonder they've turned to smuggling. And then others were more incredulous. This is really hard for me to believe. I said, well, believe it. Believe it. And so, so there's a number of interesting conversations about people who like could not conceive of a Marine Corps in which, you know, multiple daily company formations are not there. And so, and then one of them was a former gunny. He's a friend of mine. He said, "Hey man," he called me, "Hey man, what is this?" I said, "Hey, this is, you know, I just got off the phone last night with the company commander. I have two sons, both in the Marine Corps, and they will tell you the vast majority of battalions they've seen, they don't do company formation." And he said, "Look, you have those things to see everybody, not just your PFCs and Lance Corporals. Your NCOs need to be scrutinized as well." He said, "Those jackasses need to be wire brushed too." And that's how you swing the hammer. He said, "I don't get it." So we've taken the gunny and his hammer swinging out of the equation? I said, "Well, I don't, yeah, I guess, let me be them, all right? I'll play them." "Oh, of course not. He just doesn't swing the hammer as often, and he probably doesn't swing it as heavy because, you know, we don't want to be too hard on everybody." So that part of my day was relatively interesting. And so then I had somebody, you know, I was talking to somebody and yesterday, and they said, "You know, Mac, here's what I fear. If this is what the modern-day Marine Corps thinks will win, and they do business in garrison completely divorced from the way you do business when you go forward, this is the kind of shit the Army does. It's the easy way. The Marine Corps is going to get its head kicked in a fight." I said, "Well, you know what? I don't really like to say that out loud. But when you're less disciplined, when this is the way you do business, is that in the offing for the Marine Corps? With the inmates running the asylum, indignant that somebody would say that they're undisciplined? God forbid. But, you know, the discussion's important. But again, I think a lot of people stunned. A lot of people stunned who are no longer in the Marine Corps. You know, something that was the staple of their existence in the Marine Corps, you know, that was just the way business was done, is now no longer the way business was done. So, interesting. All right. So, I know this is kind of geek stuff, but you're going to hear General Berger's testimony today. And I'll tell you, I think if you're interested in the institution, you'll find it really, yeah, I found it interesting yesterday I went through it and I called out the straight Navy stuff that I didn't believe you'd want to listen to. I called out sections that were only about the Navy. Most of the time senators asked both. So General Berger and Admiral Moran were both testifying side by side. So one hearing on both appointments. And most senators asked them both questions. Some did not, so I deleted that stuff. So it's about an hour in length. But I think you'll find it incredibly informative. You get to hear General Berger in long format in his own words, which, as you all know, I'm a huge fan of. So good morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. dedicated to every battalion commander in the United States Marine Corps. You need to sit down and have a discussion with guys who've been battalion commanders before 2002. And you need to sit down with them and talk to them about the structure of a battalion. And there's, and I will tell you that, that text messaging has a role. It can certainly make things convenient, especially when you're either looking for somebody or need something on short fuse. But everything isn't short fuse. When you go to combat, when you go to 29 Palms, you can't pass word like that. Maybe you could in 29 Palms, depending on your cell phone coverage. But as soon as you leave that artificial bubble, guess what happened, boys and girls? Yeah, that's what happens. You got to completely change the way you do business. And that is not supposed to be the way it is. Now, that's just in terms of passing information. I would tell you the greater reason to have a formation is so that your senior enlisted leaders are scrutinized on a daily basis. And they're scrutinizing the Marines of your company. And it is at supervision, it is at love that binds an organization. And when junior people do it, when more junior people do it, it isn't the same. It is not the same as the watchful eye of the company gunny. It is not the same as the first sergeant strolling out of his office to take a look at what's going on. And then motioning to somebody, I need to see him after the formation. It isn't the same. And so, just dedicate all your battalion commanders. You need to figure the fuck out. There's a time and a place for everything. Time and a place for everything. And if you want to, again, I don't have that much information about what happened relative to the smuggling ring. I read what everybody else reads, but I might hear a few. I've heard other stuff. Okay, so how does something like that happen? Disengage leadership, maybe? That widespread, that many Marines, all go into federal penitentiary for smuggling. Maybe not all, the vast majority. Some may be first offenders, minor participants. Maybe they get probation. They'll all be thrown out of the Marine Corps. Congratulations, a great way to start your life. Might that have been prevented by more engaged leadership? Knowing them better, loving them more, pulling them closer to the organization? How is that done historically in the Marine Corps? Yeah, part of it is senior leaders multiple times a day scrutinize people and give them the love they need. So this dedicated to all you battalion commanders. I hope you figure it out. And again, it's also dedicated to you first sergeants. I hope you fucking figure it out. Go talk to somebody who was a first sergeant 20 years ago. Ask them how and why they did what they did. So, good luck, boys and girls.
Our flag comes through to the end. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Currently it is partly cloudy and 83 in Quantico. It is partly cloudy and 87 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. It is partly cloudy and 85 in 29 Palms, so 29 Palms cooled off a little bit. It is cloudy and 65 at Camp Pendleton, dark cloudy and 78 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Camp Hansen in Okinawa reports dark cloudy and 83 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. sunny at 108 in the Helmand province of, in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny at 108. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 103. In the Costa Mesa shithole, man. What the hell? In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 69 degrees. Looking for a high today of 74 beautiful degrees. On Thursday, 81. And on Friday, 84. All under sunny skies. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, we shall check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. You know what? If you didn't hear it, I put that clip of General Mattis saying the only reason I stuck around this low-paying outfit was to hang out with young, rambunctious, you know, incredibly selfless Marines. So I love that quote. Anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope in me. Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive.
You know, it's been a relatively humorous news event as the president and Representative Cummings of Maryland get into it, right? They roll out all this video of people talking about what a shithole Baltimore is, right? The people that, the mayor in there, the video of her walking down smelling, you know, and talking about rats and smelling it, and, you know, and asking questions like, why is this even here? Oh my God, it's horrible, right? And so he offers as evidence their own words. And, you know, Baltimore been riddled by corruption, mayors resigning, the police force is in disarray because of under disarray after they got drugged through the street. And again, I'm not privy to all the investigations relative to they encountered a guy on the street somehow or other. As he rode back, he was, you know, he was injured and ultimately died, and the whole thing had a meltdown. So anyway, Baltimore in the news for all the wrong reasons. So, but maybe something good will come out of it. Maybe, I mean, if you've ever been to Baltimore, I mean, Baltimore reminds me a lot of New Orleans, and it's, you know, poverty for long, long, long time. Hardcore, hardcore poverty. And so it's, I would tell you, it's not like West Coast poverty. The West Coast doesn't have poverty, I would tell you, like Baltimore and New Orleans have it. At least New Orleans before the flood, when I first saw it. Yeah. And so, so you look at that and you're like, yikes. Maybe something good will come out of it. Maybe something good. But you know what? I like the president throws people shit in the street. You know, I don't always, yeah, if he could stay away from the crazier stuff that he does, I mean, I think that would be a good thing. Because when he throws their shit in the street, I think most of America says, no shit, it's about time. Alright. Top stories go to Stars and Stripes first. Pentagon names two paratroopers killed during an insider attack in Afghanistan. And you know what? They're both young soldiers. PFC Brandon J. Kreischer and Specialist Michael Isaiah Nance died on Monday, July 29th, in Terran Kaut in the Uruzgan province. I think that's where Jeff Kinney was. They died of wounds as a result of an insider attack, what's known as a blue-on-green. Both soldiers were assigned to the 1st Battalion, the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Afghan officials told Stars and Stripes on Tuesday that both men were shot by an Afghan soldier at a military base in Shah Wali Kot district of southern Kandahar province. The 82nd Airborne confirmed that the soldiers were struck by small arms fire in Kandahar. The Pentagon said Nance and Kreischer died in Terenkot, the capital of Urgazan province, which borders on Shah Wali Kot, suggesting the pair were transported to an American forward operating base that is located there. Nance was on his first deployment to Afghanistan, according to family members. He spoke with WMAQ, which is Chicago-based TV station. Quote, he loved his country and wanted to serve his country, his cousin Trevor told the television station. He died doing something that he loved. So, certainly keep that family, those families, in your thoughts and prayers, which is... To me, that's one of the most frustrating things that you worry about and you see happen. The next headline: Norquist confirmed as the 34th Deputy Defense Secretary. David Norquist was confirmed on Tuesday as the 34th Deputy Defense Secretary by voice vote in the full Senate of the upper chamber of Congress, as it continued its spree of Defense Department appointments to fill key leadership vacancies at the Pentagon. Norquist has been serving as Patrick Shanahan's deputy. Prior to that, he served as the Pentagon's chief financial officer since 2017. So, that's kind of a big deal when you're the head of finances at the Pentagon. That's a big deal. North Korea fires again another short-range missile as it continues to throw temper tantrums. Stars and Stripes has a picture of Kim Jong-un in a suit and tie. Looks moderately, right? He and Mike Pence need to go on the same PT program. Yeah. I'm thinking. But he looks a little kind of weird in a suit and tie. The launch raises pressure on the United States as it tries to restart talks aimed at persuading the North to abandon its nuclear weapons. North Korea is likely angling to increase its leverage in negotiations while expressing anger over planned joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises and continued sanctions, experts say. The missile flew about 155 miles from the town of Wonsan and reached an altitude of less than 20 miles before splashing into the sea. Yeah, it's like, this is like more temper tantrums. I want my way. I want a deal. I know you hate it, but you can have that deal. You can call it a success. We can all be happy, and I'll keep developing nuclear weapons. And most of the time, the United States would say yes. Of course. Let's sign it, and we'll hand out pens to everybody. Next headline. Hispanic group wants Fort Hood renamed after a Vietnam Medal of Honor recipient. Now, I'm not interested in, as I've said before, bleaching our history. But I don't think that black Americans, Hispanic Americans, white Americans, should you have to go work on a base named after a Confederate general that fought for the cause of slavery. Now, what I think ought to happen is you ought to create either in the base museum, right? Our legacy is Fort Hood. This is why these bases were allowed to be named after Confederate generals in an effort to bind the wounds of the nation. This is who this dude was. This is why this base was named. Yada, yada, yada. And you build out the history, right? You don't. So anyway, this Hispanic group, a group of Texas veterans believe it's time for the military to start honoring its contemporary heroes, and they'd like to start by renaming Fort Hood after a Vietnam War Medal of Honor recipient. In its national meeting in July, the League of United Latin American Citizens, or LULAC, approved the resolution brought forward by a Council of Texas Veterans to call on the Secretary of the Army to rename Fort Hood, Fort Benavides, in honor of a former Special Forces Master Sergeant Rory Benavides. So, Benavides, a native of Texas who died at the age of 63 in 1998, received the Medal of Honor for actions on May 2, 1968 in South Vietnam. On that day, he went into a dense jungle west of Loc Ninh, wherever the hell that is, to rescue a 12-man Special Forces team. He loaded 8 wounded men onto a helicopter and then did so again when the first helicopter was shot down, all under enemy fire, sustaining multiple gunshot wounds himself. Benavides, who also received 5 Purple Heart medals, always said he was just a regular guy, not a hero. A Texas elementary school already bears his name. So again, I think this is, you're going to see this, and at some point, you're going to see, you know, military bases renamed. And I'm against bleaching history, as everybody knows, but you don't need to bleach it. I think it's appropriate that those bases be renamed, and you can tell the story of why they were initially named that, what the intention was, and why it has been since renamed. Marines from 8th and I are in the news. You know, you try to talk to Marines about, you know, the implications of things you do and depending on where you serve, because, you know, some places are much more visible than others, and 8th and I for the Marine Corps is certainly that place. But nonetheless, they do what they do. A Marine Corporal assigned to the storied silent drill platoon at the Marine Barracks, Washington, D.C., was hit with a slew of charges and allegations from what appeared to be hazing incidents ranging from conspiracy to commit abusive sexual conduct and assault, according to a charge sheet. The charge sheet obtained by Marine Corps Times through a government records request detailed that a Marine Corporal allegedly assisted at least one other person in holding another Marine down while a topical pain relief medication was applied to his testicles. According to the charge sheet, sometime between May 1, 2018 and August 31, 2018, an unidentified corporal allegedly entered Building 20 and a room in the Silent Drill Platoon barracks, where that corporal allegedly forced a Marine onto a bed, held him down. The charge sheet detailed that the victim allegedly was subject to the corporal's orders. So, again, Marines being stupid and national headlines that they make. The next story is the continuation of the General Hyten story. So, very much in public, General Hyten denied his sexual assault accuser. But the headline reads, "New questions cloud his confirmation as the Joint Chief's number two guy." What was interesting about this is you had Senator Martha McSally defending him. He is currently the head of U.S. Strategic Command. He called claims against him false and insisted that nothing happened ever with Army Colonel Catherine Schleppstosser, a senior member of his staff who has publicly accused him of assaulting her in a California hotel room on a 2017 defense policy trip. Quote, "That never happened. I've never been in a room on any trip I've ever taken." The accusations were dismissed by military officials after a lengthy investigation, a point that Hayden's defenders mentioned repeatedly during confirmations on Tuesday. Martha McSally, "I believe the truth still matters in our country, and the full truth was revealed in this process. The truth is that General Hyten is innocent of these charges." Now, again, McSally, who, what, just a couple months ago came out and said she was raped while she was in the military? So Martha McSally knows the gravity of her words as a veteran, as a rape victim. The truth is that General Hayton is innocent of these charges. Sexual assault happens in the military. It just didn't happen in this case. Slep Stosser, who attended the hearing, described the event as stunning to her and scary to sexual assault victims across the military. Quote, "You just had a four-star general get up in front of the American people and in testimony before the Senate Armed Service Committee and make false statements under oath. He lied. He lied about sexually assaulting me." I'm trying to see if... In a twist, the article goes on, right? In a twist, Hayton and the military said, and the military's pushback against the accuser may have opened another potential confirmation problem for the nominee. Hayton called Slep Stosser a brilliant officer who he believed performed admirably in her job, but later learned of serious problems with her leadership style that culminated in an investigation of her within his command. Slep Stosser was later forced out of her role and afterwards made several other unsubstantiated complaints about the leadership team before the sexual assault allegation. Supporters of Hayton highlighted that as evidence of a motive for her to fabricate stories about Hayton, but several senators asked whether it showed he was slow to react to clear problems with senior personnel surrounding him and why he should be trusted with a promotion to the top rank of the military. You could not bring yourself to admit or recognize toxic leadership within your command, Senator Joni Ernst said. She, an Army veteran, you continued to endorse her. You only did something about it when concerns were raised about your own leadership. All of this suggests a conflict between your personal inclinations and your professional responsibilities. Interesting. Let me see if I can find some of that audio. Another story. Insomnia in the military is up 650% since 2003. Yeah, no kidding it is. Here's how the DOD is hoping to curb that trend. Nobody I know can sleep. Nobody I know sleeps very well. More than ever, service members are struggling to sleep. That's the takeaway in layman's terms of a 14-year study that analyzed the association of insomnia with combat exposure in 1.3 million military personnel. From 1997 to 2011, the report rates of insomnia soared, the study found. The trend spiked considerably following the 2003 invasion of Iraq, indicating a direct association between the disorder and exposure to combat. I was talking about insomnia earlier this week, and I was talking to Ken Rogers. So I pinged Ken Rogers. And so I said, "Hey man, do you sleep?" "Well," he said, "not so much." I said, "Why not?" I'll read you what he wrote me, because it's funny. It's something like, "Maybe I'm afraid the North Vietnamese will slit my throat in the middle of the night." Here's the conversation. "Do you sleep well?" "Rogers, not so much." "Me, why?" "Light sleeper, maybe waiting for the NVA." someone was telling me about homeopathic oils. And I replied, but it's inside my brain. It's not in my nostrils. He replies, yeah. Then I say, yeah, I got no response from that. His response, right, they don't get it. And then he asked me for my address. I'll send you some then he says, I'll send you some homeopathic oils. I wrote, like Jim Beam, and he said, Ouzo. And I said, those are our homeopathic oils. He said, right. So, anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem. In the 8 years following the invasion, the insomnia rate skyrocketed 652% among military personnel. The DOD hopes... Oh, my God. The DOD recently awarded a company by the name of Noctem with a $2 million contract to conduct trials on a sample group of 800 sailors and Marines in what amounts to the most extensive sleep trial the DOD has ever undertaken. This researcher, Dr. Anne Germain, has conducted insomnia trials on service members and veterans before, achieving great results within only 4 weeks of commencing treatment, a success she hopes to translate to a larger sample size. The problem with traditional face-to-face treatments, these therapeutic treatment methods are designed to steer clear of medication, is that accessibility to care can be challenging for those living in rural areas or entirely impossible for deployed personnel. Traveling to meet with specialists oftentimes only serves to perpetuate stress and anxiety. So how do we get around it? To compensate, the doctor and a team of researchers at the University of Pittsburgh developed the Noctem app, a smartphone platform patients can use to actively engage with their clinicians anytime, anywhere. The app will be the treatment delivery method for the 800 sailors and Marines of this trial. Patients using the app essentially have a sleep coach in their pocket, and the providers using the app monitor almost in real time sleep health and behaviors that can... What do they do? Based on information compiled, a clinician can offer a personally tailored plan that addresses how to quell any existing detriments to sound sleep nightmares, for example. What happens if you just wake up a lot and you didn't used to do that before? All right, I need to get this lady on, and we need to talk about this. Yeah, because it affects me. All right, U.S. News, USNI News headlines, panel. U.S.-China, South China Sea tensions show no sign of easing. Yeah, they'll ease, right? They'll ease. The United States has to just say that China owns everything and will never go in the South China Sea or the Taiwan Straits again. That's when they'll ease. I mean, come on. Shocker. Next story. Report to Congress on the Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier class. Yeah, they're having a tough time. And what the problem is, it's costing money. Another headline. Congress grants additional funding to keep CH-53 kilo helicopter testing on schedule. So again, this is another, you know, like $100 million a copy for a helicopter. Like, what? Yeah, and that was brought up. I think I left it in the testimony. Here's another headline. New Chinese military strategy casts the U.S. military in Asia as destabilizing. That's awesome, right? That's the world upside down. China, providing stability by taking over the whole joint, right, views the United States who doesn't have such designs as the destabilizing influence over China's rule of all things on the planet. Yeah. Now, new CNO, right? He's been testifying in front of Congress. The new CNO, Admiral Gilday, submits a data-driven, tech-focused plan to push the Navy forward. Now, he didn't have very much time to get that, you know, his plan ready, because he wasn't scheduled to to be the CNO. All right, we need this plan. Like, what? All right, but you better have one, or we'll give you one. So, anyway, yeah, the CNO, he's in the spotlight. And then, let's see, there's one more story I want to get to out of USNI. The chairman of the Senate Armed Service Committee, Senator Inhofe, grilled CNO nominee Admiral Gilday about the Ford carrier program failures. And again, there's huge cost overruns, there are technologies that don't work, and all that adds up to a shit ton of money. And so, well, one of the themes of the questioning that you'll hear here in a few minutes is the Navy's got to stop doing this. The ships aren't getting to the fleet. The cost overruns are incredible. And so it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. All right, top five stories in early bird. I would think most of them we've No, I take that back. Number one, Afghan highway blast kills at least 35 on a bus and wounds 27. This blast comes ahead of the resumption of peace talks between U.S. and Taliban representatives, who are hoping to strike a deal on a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign forces in exchange for security guarantees by the Taliban. Okay, when you hear that, think of Vietnamization. We're going to do to Afghanistan what we did to Vietnam. Number two, Korean Fat Leonard. Feds probe a new Navy corruption case in Asia. Holy shit. The Justice Department has filed corruption charges against the head of a Busan, Korea-based husbanding service provider in a case with unmistakable echoes of the Fat Leonard scandal that rocked the Navy since the investigation began in 2013. Sung Yol David Kim, head of DK Maritime Service, has been charged with one count of conspiracy and one count of bribery, according to documents filed with the Eastern District of Michigan. The investigation has already netted the former civilian master of the dry cargo ship Charles Drew, a military sealift command ship that operates in the Pacific. James Driver pled guilty on July 16th to one count of conspiracy, according to court documents, and is awaiting sentencing. It is unclear how deep the alleged fraud ran, but it is clear that DK Marine Services performed extensive work for both Military Sealift Command and U.S. Navy assets, including the carriers Reagan and Washington, the minesweeper Chief, the destroyer Sterrett, and a number of other support ships, according to images posted on DK Marine Services website. The news that another husbanding service provider in Asia is at the center of a federal corruption case is a hammer blow to the Navy, which has been struggling for years as dozens of its officers, including several senior leaders, have come under scrutiny for their dealings with Glen Defense Maritime Asia and its corrupt chief executive, Fat Leonard Francis. So, holy shit! The Navy, man, they cannot get out of their own way. Again, you know what? But again, I will tell you this. When you let discipline slide and it's not important to your service, and again, the Navy's been going that way for years, then this is what you get. And now another corruption case. This one in Korea, you have their surface warfare problems. You have their special warfare problems. Holy shit. Number three, North Korea tests more missiles despite efforts of diplomatic solutions. You know what? Let him shoot all he wants into the sea. It's just his little temper tantrum. This is how you get back to the table. If you want these sanctions lifted, here's what you're going to have to do. Number four, why wearable technology might end the Navy fitness test. I think that's a bad deal. I think you should have to publicly perform, right, in front of your peers. Okay, but what they're going to say is, you're going to put a wearable on and we're going to monitor your shit. It's just, you know what, this is just. A former top Navy official is proposing the service scrap the semi-annual physical fitness test and instead monitor sailors' health through wearable tracking devices. The idea would be to shift from a twice-a-year crucible with all the attendant dangers that go with it, Juan Garcia, who was the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, as well as a retired Navy Reserve Captain, told Navy Times. The idea would be to shift from a twice-a-year crucible with all the attendant dangers. Jeez. You gotta be kidding me. We shift to a year-round culture of fitness using analytics to determine a sailor's fitness level. Yeah, alright. Mac, you're an old curmudgeon. Yeah, I am. Number five, their case collapses in court, but four Navy prosecutors still netted Navy Achievement Medals. Well, why not? Come on. The Navy gives medals away for, you know, for farting in public. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, the Marine Corps won't give medals away. The Navy, ribbons and badges for everybody. Here's the story. It's about the Gallagher story. Despite the collapse of their case, four military attorneys netted Navy Achievement Medals 8 days after the man they were trying to convict was acquitted. According to records released by Navy Times. You know how Navy Times gets all this shit? People call them and say, hey, listen to this. And then they file a Freedom of Information Act and they get this stuff. And so in spite of not being able to get him convicted, they were awarded medals. All right, overseas operations real quick. How Trump attacks on the U.S.-Japan security alliance could affect readiness. You know, we do this run around and scream and shout thing. And whenever the president makes a statement, we did it with NATO. And really, all the president's doing is putting somebody on blast. You've got to do more. I wish you would really, really dial it up on Germany, though. Germany is the one partner with a big economy that doesn't have a military. Right? Pete Buttigieg, former United States Army, United States Army veteran, and mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and presidential candidate, says he would withdraw all of U.S. forces from Afghanistan during his first year in office. Donald Trump's trying to get close to that. Again, you know, he came out at the start of his, you could roll the video, right, of him saying, you know, what we'll do in Afghanistan will be conditions-based. We won't have an artificial timeline. Mike Pompeo comes out on Monday and says, yeah, he told me to get him out by the election. More U.S. military power needed in the Antarctic to deter malign activity, according to an American general. So, there you have it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear some pretty interesting testimony. And I might do a little commentary during the testimony. Yeah, because that's how interesting I found it. So, don't touch that dial. More of this fine program. That's right. More of this fine program coming up next on Your Home For It. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us.
moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.